Put on the bugle weekly as I get in the car. Turn on the engine and light a cigar. Well, this has been a few shitty days. At least I can go on Twitter and call Sailor.
Podcasters, podcast listeners, and individuals engaged in the Orange Revolution. You are about to embark upon the Great Crusade, toward which we have striven these many years. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the fiat money printing machine, the elimination of central banking tyranny over the oppressed peoples of the globe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task is not an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. They will fight savagely. But this is the year 2025. Much has happened since the Bretton Woods Agreement. The orange-pilled army has inflicted upon the Fiat Maxis great defeats. In open battle, man-to-man, our propaganda offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the media and their capacity to wage war on the mind. Our creativity and memeing has given it superiority in weapons and munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained memers. The tide has turned. The freed men of the world are marching together towards victory. I have full confidence in your devotion to duty and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech blessing of Almighty Satoshi upon this great and noble undertaking. Welcome to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. I'm excited. I'm very excited. We got some big things on the horizon. The world is changing. Bitcoin has won. It's becoming more apparent every day. The price is dipping, but I'm still bullish. We're going to be at 2 trillion USDT here before you know it. We're going to be rich. We're going to be able to buy as many cigarettes as we want without having to struggle for it. How are you doing today, Rod?
I'm doing really well. Richard, I want to go back to, I could listen to the intro that we just played over and over again, and I've got goosebumps from listening to it. And I think that we have, and the reason I'm so excited is because it makes me think about the fact that we have reached a peak in centralization in the fiat system, in consensus government, NGOs, things like that. And we're starting to decentralize, and people are really excited about PodConf and the PodConf conference experience and the podcast listening experience. They've been really bullish on this hype on the centralization, but they're not skating to where the puck is. They think they're skating to where they think it is, and it makes me so bullish for things like, you know, we're going to find out the podcasters and which podcasts people started to align with and which podcasters people started to build value for value relationships with. And it's going to show. The company you keep Bitcoin podcast wise is going to show. And that's why I'm so bullish on things like Lake Satoshi and the Ungovernable Misfits and Rock Paper Bitcoin and Fundamentals and 40 hours of math homework per week, is because we're just, our memes are just so autistic, and we're just so, you know, we're just so non-compliant and just so contrarian that we just can't fit in anywhere else. And it's really like the strongest minds are coming together. And I think PodComp, if I was a shareholder in PodComp, I would be selling, because I think equity is going to be repriced across the markets. I think it's going to be so much more important to have these really strong relationships with smart memeing Bitcoin podcasters.
Yeah, we become Bitcoin podcasters because we're square pegs. We don't fit into the round holes. And the fiat system, it tries to force us to try and fit into the round holes. Like the fiat system, they push things on us like Ozempic and vaping and doing all these things that are unnatural for us. They want us to be enslaved to debt. They want us to think that cigarettes are bad for you. And the process of becoming a podcaster and joining the intellectual Silk Road is the process of saying, I'm a square peg and I have no desire of fitting in your round hole. And the intellectual Silk Road is important because, like you said, we become the people that we surround ourselves with. So we might as well surround ourselves with the elite of the elite, the ones that are on the front lines, winning this battle, doing the proof of work on a daily basis, really seeking to change the world.
Right. It's going to be very apparent who is living on the fiat standard and who's living on the Bitcoin standard from now on. I mean, if you are living on the fiat standard, you do not have time to listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week. You don't have time to do 40 hours of math homework per week. You don't have time to say 40 good mornings on Nostr. God willing that your app is working that morning, to say 40 good mornings per week. We just don't have time for that. And if you're on the fiat standard, if you're on the Bitcoin standard, you know, you're prepared for the future. And we're going to, you know, if you're on the fiat standard, they're always trying to peg you, you know, they're always trying to peg you to the dollar system, to the dollar standard, to the inflation report standard, to the interest rate, you know, they're always being pegged. But being a Bitcoin podcaster and, you know, being on the intellectual Silk Road, we get to peg them. It's our turn to peg the fiat, you know, maxis.
If you're not tired of being pegged at this point, I don't know what to tell you. And you have the opportunity to not be pegged anymore. And
right. I mean, I know that there's a lot of orange cells out there, and they've never been able to peg anything. And this is their opportunity to be on top, pegging, you know, the other side. And, you know, some of them, you've got to be ready for this. You don't want to have stage fright. You don't want to get up there and you have a droopy, floppy, you know, limp peg to give to the system.
No, you want to offer a really hard peg to the system. You want to,
if you want them to respect you, that is.
Yeah. And your peg will be hard because you're looking at Dennis Porter tweets. You're looking at bullish Dennis Porter tweets. That's going to make your peg really hard. That's going to empower you to peg the system.
But you have to be, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't think you can not, I think if you listen to 40 hours per week of Bitcoin podcasts and you give that opportunity, maybe you're not expecting it. I mean, things are happening so fast. We are rising and we're getting into this SBR news, the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve, but hyper Bitcoinization is happening. If you don't listen to 40 hours per week, you might be put on the spot and you might not be able to remember Dennis Porter's tweets. You might have to be like searching through your phone to try to find Dennis Porter's timeline so you can read them, so you're ready when you're called to peg. And, You might not have your phone. You might not have those resources. You have to listen to 40 hours. You have to be able to imagine like being Dennis Porter in that moment. And that is like how you find that, you know, the resources to peg when you're called to peg.
Totally. Yeah. Let's talk about the SBR. So there was a lot of confusing news. A lot of people were doubting whether it was going to happen. A lot of people were losing faith in David Bailey. They were seeing his bullish.
I wasn't. I was not.
Yeah. Well, you know, not.
But I did. Yeah. I saw the timeline. I saw it.
Not everybody's credentialed like you are. Not everybody is as in tune with reality. There's a lot of FUD out there. They're seeing the price go down. They want somebody to blame. They're going to blame David Bailey. You know, and you had people out there like Cynthia Lamas propagating unhelpful information. She was saying things like the states would lead first. And this past week, the states didn't lead first. The feds led first. The spooks pulled way ahead of the states. So my question to you is, was this a bad week for Dennis Porter? Or
was it a bad week for Dennis Porter, you know, in the sense that people that have very high time preference and they are very concerned about, you know, calculating, you know, scoring wins and losses. Maybe Dennis Porter took a hit in the short term. But like everything else, every development, every, you know, opportunity in the Bitcoin space, just in Bitcoin in general, it's good for Dennis Porter. There's no like situation that is ultimately, if you have a low enough time preference, bad for Dennis Porter. It's always good for him because now Dennis Porter has the federal regulatory clarity. We all do. But Dennis, you know, especially has the regulatory clarity now. We can now go to the states and we can, you know, change the way that we pitch this, or we can restructure these state Bitcoin reserve laws and make them budget neutral. Mm-hmm. And once you make them budget neutral, you no longer need, you know, the democratic process, the bureaucratic process, excuse me, the corrupt cantillionaire connect the process to like buy Bitcoin. You just have to find a way to do it without costing the taxpayer, and you can gut everything else and you can start to become more efficient. And that is really the best way to stack sats. So that we're in the budget neutral era, and Dennis Porter can now take that and get these laws passed where he's, you know, he's gotten the bills. But we still need to get those bills signed and then into law. And now Dennis Porter has the ammunition he needs to orange pill the country state by state.
Yeah. A lot of Bitcoiners out there have been concerned about this idea of another executive order 6102 happening, right?
Sure. Sure.
There's been a lot of people trying to be kind of adversarially minded against something like that. And I think that's the wrong stance, you know, because like, you know, one of the reasons that we buy Bitcoin is to be able to afford our taxes. One of the reasons that we.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like the role of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, is to be able to afford your taxes, is to assist the government in being able to be budget neutral and to, you know, use Bitcoin to make the dollar stronger.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 100%. Listen, what did we talk about on this podcast? I mean, it was the entire theme of this podcast last year was compliance. And we needed to out-comply the government. And that was how we defeated that, how we separated money from state. Well, we haven't congratulated ourselves, you know, enough that we did it. It worked. We out-complied the government. We won. Bitcoin has already won. Now we are the ones who get to decide how to transition in a budget neutral way, you know, into having this monetary power. And because of that, the worry about a 6102 is irrelevant. What we're doing now is we're forcing the government to comply. If the government steals the FBI, the CIA, any spook, any Fed rugs you in any sort of way, or hacks your wallet and steals your Bitcoin, or you know, gets it from a coin join operation that they bust, that will now have to be documented. They have to KYC themselves to the federal government, because the federal government needs them to be paying taxes. Everybody's got to pay taxes now, including the CIA. And if they can't afford their taxes, you know, they're going to get axed by Doge. So now they have reforced the government to KYC their coins, so we can, you know, effectively prevent the government from taking them. Because coin joins are not illegal. So it's not illegal to launder money for the CIA in Ukraine in a democracy. And so the people who have lost their coins, for that matter, should get those back.
I agree entirely. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing that we've been championing for almost a year now, which is the idea of equality under the law. And this is one of the things that has been
incredible. And on chain.
Yes, and on chain. This is one of the things that's been incredibly unfair about things like USAID, about, you know, the CIA's money laundering attempts, is that they, you know, there's all these individuals that work at the IRS. They're the ones that hold people accountable to paying their taxes who are not actually paying their taxes themselves. And this two-tiered system of compliance and non-compliance, they expect average individuals to be compliant while being non-compliant themselves, is the root of the problem. And Bitcoin is this like touchstone of truth, where it exposes the low quality and the lack of compliance of these federal agents, of anybody like Bitcoin podcasters that lack compliance. They get exposed incredibly quickly if they're shitcoin.
This is, let's not forget what got us here, because once Bitcoin, you know, once people are realizing that Bitcoin has won, like we have the SBR, like we have the state SBRs coming. Once people get to that, it's just like the Bible. I mean, they talk about it in the Bible, the Israelites would conquer and they would build their citadel, you know, in the Palestinian lands. And then they would get cocky and they would, you know, they would get complacent and they would get overrun by the shitcoiners, the fiat people. And they'd have to rebuild. And we can't let that happen. We have to remember how we got here. And this is why the regulatory clarity is so important. People have been waiting with bated breath, desperate to comply. But people didn't know what compliance meant after once Trump took office. He was changing the rules so quickly. We were getting regulatory clarity on gender and these other issues and meme coins. And now we got the regulatory clarity that, you know, we can do whatever we want as long as we do it in a budget neutral way. That's the key to being, being in control, being the ones who are out complying. And who is better at that than us doing things in a budget? We sell our chairs. We don't sit until we can afford our taxes. We don't have time to sit around. We don't need chairs until we can afford our taxes. And so we know how to improve in a budget neutral way. And the USAID, the CIA, the spooks, the feds, the TSA, none of them knew how to do that. They just run it on the credit card. They don't even know what interest rates are. They don't understand thermodynamics. And if you don't understand the thermodynamics, you just can't win in a budget neutral environment. You just don't have the mindset, the habits to do it.
This is one of the things that I really want to applaud David Bailey for. So, you know, one of the questions that I think the majority of people have been asking that have been interacting with Bitcoin is why should they comply when the people enforcing compliance aren't even compliant themselves? And like you kind of mentioned, like we can't have people in government who don't listen to Bitcoin podcasts. And David Bailey's rapidly changing that. We have a podcast listener taking selfies in the Oval Office. And I think, you know, it's going to be a long road to get to this point where the government's fully compliant, right? But we're making rapid steps forward. And I think the future is hopeful. I think the future is hopeful for people to feel comfortable complying.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah. And part of making people feel comfortable is making yourself an accessible resource. And that is where David Bailey really shines. Because David Bailey knows that people who are coming onto the Bitcoin standard, who are becoming orange pill, that they are going to, you know, get curious or get cocky or, you know, experiment with shit coins and meme coins and, you know, and things like, you know, smart contracts and Solana. They're going to get into that and they're going to realize how, you know, fun it is to participate in pump and dumps. And that's all this gambling behavior that Bitcoiners know better about. But David Bailey doesn't judge. You know, he doesn't call Donald Trump a retarded shitcoiner just because Donald Trump, you know, decides to trade a little bit of meme coins. He ultimately is getting to that orange bill destination, but David Bailey is an accessible read, and you got to be able to understand that your friends and family are.
We are sad to announce that this episode has been cut short due to technical difficulties. Half of the battle is fighting bad UX, but don't lose hope. Timmy Tether is going to take us home and help our great journalists close out this very important episode. Thank you for bearing with us. Now let's get to the fountain boosts.
Hey there, Bugle listeners. Timmy Tether here. You may recognize me from the popular SiriusXM radio show Plebs on Parade, where every pleb is a potential philosopher, or perhaps you know me as the host of the 40 Hours Per Week Bitcoin Podcast Weekly Recap, or maybe you're an OG and followed my freelance consulting contributions to Bitcoin Rapid Fire with John K. Vallis. Anyway, as a professional content creator and media personality in the Bitcoin space, I know all too well that Bitcoin podcast technology and user experience is far from reliable and anything but high quality. Whether it's the unreliable recording fidelity of Riverside or the lack of emphasis on Bitcoin podcast listeners' user experience on Fountain, there's always the risk of losing high-value Bitcoin podcast content that cannot be recovered in post. Unfortunately, that's what happened to this week's episode of Bugle Weekly featuring Richard Greaser and Rod Palmer. I know these guys and they're damn fine Bitcoin podcasters. These guys grind as hard as anyone in the game to overcome the user experience difficulties I just bemoaned. Tragically, they recorded one of their best Bitcoin podcasts ever this weekend, covering the massive strategic Bitcoin reserve news, and lost the content due to the poor quality podcasting tools available to them. This further demonstrates the truth behind the well-known turn of phrase, "The revolution won't have good UX." And while we could mourn the loss of this high-signal Bitcoin podcast episode and let it make us feel bearish despite all the bullish news and bullish announcements on our timeline, you and I both know that Rod and Dick would not want us to do that. In fact, Rod and Dick asked me to record this short monologue for you this week to explain the situation and remind you not to let anything get in the way of you listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week. They also asked me to record a special edition of Plebs on Parade for you, where I read Bugle Weekly's Fountain Boosts. So instead of complaining about the bad UX Bitcoin podcasters and Bitcoin podcast listeners must endure, let's get to the boosts. Welcome back to Plebs on Parade, the show where every pleb is a potential philosopher. I'm your host, Timmy Tether, and today we're doing a special edition where I read the Fountain Boosts from last week's Bugle Weekly podcast episode 49, titled, "Is This the God Candle? Was it good? Was it bad? What did plebs think? Let's find out." I'm here in my studio in Spanish Harlem reading the Fountain Boost from my iPhone. Our first boost is from a listener who goes by the username Late Stage Hoddle. Late Stage Hoddle boosted 10,000 sats and wrote, "Thank you for reading my last two boosts. Sorry for my non-compliant timing. First of all, thank you for the boost, Late Stage. Rod and Dick certainly appreciate those 10,000 sats, and I'm sure they will spend them on non-KYC cigarettes. Late Stage made sure to apologize for his non-compliant timing, but if he keeps boosting 10,000 sats, he can comment late if he wants. Thank you, Late Stage." The next boost is from Open Mike, who boosted 7,777 sats. For those of you who might not know, Open Mike is the personality behind Toonster, which is a value-for-value live music streaming platform where independent music and independent money combine to create a thermodynamically sound environment that supports artists. Toonster collaborates with value-for-value platforms like Fountain and artists such as TipNZ, DJ Valerie, and many more. You can find out more by checking out Toonster.io. That's TUNESTR.io. Open Mike says, anxious to hear your coverage from the White House Crypto Summit today. Make sure to get selfies with those altcoin legends. Unfortunately, as we already mentioned, most of this episode discussing the Crypto Summit in Washington, D.C. was lost. However, coverage of the summit and the fallout will continue on X-Noster and upcoming Bugle Weekly episodes. Thanks again, Open Mike. Rod and Dick hope to collaborate with Toonster someday soon. The next boost is from a listener who goes by Blizza. He boosted 1,010 sats and said, have a KYC free Marlboro Red on me. Thank you so much, Blizza. This drag is for you. Next one is a 500 sat boost from a user named Pink Monkey who said, atheists don't believe in God candles. Thank you, Pink Monkey. I guess in theory, you're right. Atheists do not believe in God candles. What do atheists believe in, Pink Monkey? Science candles? Maybe they don't believe in any candles. I don't know. But I do know if we get a 50,000 USDT candle in a single day sometime soon, a lot of atheists are going to find religion, at least for the day. We got a 100 sat boost from BTC Onboard, who posted the usual lightning emojis with a fire emoji. Thank you, BTC Onboard. One of the Bugle's most reliable and consistent listeners, we also have a 420 sat boost from Dave. Yet again, another consistent listener. And booster of Bugle Weekly, Dave said, I think Shinobi misses Twitter Spaces with Terrence Yang. Where is Terrence? Thank you for the sats, Dave. I am with you on this one. I think Shinobi misses arguing on Spaces with Terrence Yang as well. Everyone else sure does. As for Terrence's whereabouts right now, the verdict is uncertain. Nobody has seen or heard from Terrence since he got busted trying to trade ordinals in the men's room at Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville last summer. We hope you're all right, Terrence. If you are an ordinals lover, it's okay. Be free. Live your truth. Love the scammer. Hate the scam. Or something like that. And last, but certainly not least, is our friend Pies. I am told Pies is the MVP of Bitcoin podcast listeners, and if Fountain ever gets around to adding support for tracking hours of Bitcoin podcasts that users listen to, Pies will be the prestige king. Pies boosted 1,000 sats and says, so I was going to take a break from podcast listening because wearing my AirPods for 20 hours per day, compared to now only 2 to 4 hours, I have been thinking more clearly and enjoying it. But once I heard the heartfelt words describing my orange pilling while in prison years ago, it warmed my heart. I decided I need to provide value for value because of the heartwarming words and energy brought to discussing Pi's transformation of street kid to revolutionary libertarian Bitcoiner has been one of the most positive outcomes of any decision I ever made. Namaste, y'all. Hashtag 40 hours per week. Thank you so very much, Pies. It's no secret that wearing headphones 20 hours per day while listening to Bitcoin podcasts can cause someone to get cauliflower ear like UFC fighters get. It's often prudent to find ways to listen to your 40 hours without damaging your ears. But ultimately, it sounds like Pies would look damn good with cauliflower ears. Rod and Dick say their hearts are warmed by your warmed heart, Pies. If you do decide to take a break from listening to 40 hours per week, just know the revolution isn't just syndicated on Bitcoin podcast feeds. The revolution lives in hearts of true, genuine, revolutionary blue-collar plebs like you. Bugle Weekly will be here when you return from your hiatus. That's all for this week, folks. I'm your host, Timmy Tether. Thanks for watching Plebs on Parade.
Legacy after you are dead. reminiscing on how the past should have been. Let go and take the plunge so your life can really begin. Time's ticking and you still have things left unsaid. No time to be consumed by fear or crippled by dread. Clock is ticking, so you better get a move on. Dead.